My sermon is entitled, God's Name on Us. God's Name on Us. We are living in perilous times. What Thomas Paine said of his era can be said of our time. These are the times that try men's souls. Jesus speaks about these times and says, you will hear of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. We are living in perilous times. From the fighting in the Middle East, which of course we've seen before, to the senseless conflict in Congress, to the struggles of this pandemic, we are living in perilous times. With all that's going on, we might lose hope. We might lose grip. And we might sink into a sea of despair and nihilistic thinking. And the words of Jesus remind us to cling onto hope. We've got to stand firm, beloved. People of faith live with tremendous hope, a hope not predicated upon the goodness of people, because human goodness is fickle. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. But a hope that is rooted in the greatness of God. It is a hope derived from the assurance that we are God's people. And God will take care of us. And that is the message that God shares with Moses in our text. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. This blessing in Numbers, this three-pronged benediction is sealed with the words, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. God promises to put his name on the Israelites, signifying God's connection to them, signifying God's claim upon his people. The people, because they have God's name, belong to God. God is Israel's God, and it is against that affirmation that God then pronounces this benedictory blessing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. As followers of Christ, we too live with that affirmation. We are God's people. He is our God. We too, beloved, have God's name on us. And this blessing becomes a special message to us. What benefits do we derive from bearing God's name? What benefits do we derive from this blessing that God gives because God places God's name upon us? I'm glad you asked. This prayer contains three words that describe the actions of God and then three words to show the results of God's actions. So on the one hand, you got what God does, and on the other hand, you have the result of what God does. And the first action of God in this prayer is to bless the people. The Bible says, the text says, the Lord bless you, and that's the action, and keep you. And the result is God provides protection. Right. Wherever you are, beloved, say that. God provides protection. God's blessing is the granting of divine favor. That's what the blessing means. Divine favor for well-being. The blessing is divine favor, really to produce, to be prosperous, to bless, to produce on the earth. When God puts his name on us, God takes responsibility for our well-being. That's the action of God. And the result is God provides divine protection. He blesses us. And when God blesses us, he keeps us. When God blesses us, God protects us. That's the result. So God says, in effect, to Moses, tell the priests to bless the people. Now, the priests don't convey the blessing. They are just instruments in the hands of God. God is the one who does the blessing. The priest can bless you. The priest can pronounce the blessing, but God is the one who brings the blessing to fruition. And this blessing will let them know that God will protect them and that God will watch over them. God protects us, beloved. That's why it says in the book of Psalms, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep, because God is protecting us. There is still a lot of uncertainty with this pandemic. States have reopened and lifted restrictions. The CDC has lifted restrictions and loosened guidelines. And many are worried that some of this has come about too soon. And I'm worried about it too. I have been fully vaccinated, but I'm still wearing my mask in public. I'm still practicing social distancing. I'm worried about it too. And folk wonder how safe they are. My wife just flew to Florida last week. She was worried about getting on the airplane and being in a plane for over 3 hours with other people. She didn't know what might happen. Those are legitimate concerns. But ultimately, we can follow all the guidelines we want and be as safe as possible. But we need God to protect us and to keep us. The Bible says, except the Lord keep watch over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So God protects us. The action is God blesses us. The result is God provides protection. And then the second action in this passage is the action of God smiling. God smiling. The text says, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That God is smiling toward us. Well, the action is God's face shines upon God's people. To shine one's face means to show favor towards someone. It means to be well disposed towards someone. It means to be well intentioned toward someone. That when you look at them, you want to do well by them. You want to do good to them. That's what it means to shine one's face. When God's name is on us, then God looks at us with a smile. God looks at us with kindness. That's the action of God. And the result is God grants us favor or grace. God grants grace and favor for our path, for our life, and for our situation. So God shines God's face upon us, smiling at us, those who bear God's name. And the result is we have grace and we have the favor of God. Abraham and Sarah had no children because Sarah was infertile, but God smiled on them and Sarah became pregnant. That's favor. That's the grace of God. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They cried out to God and God smiled on them. He shone his face upon them and used Moses to lead them out of bondage. That's favor. That's the grace of God. When God smiles upon us, God provides favor. Recently, I checked into a hotel. I had made a reservation for a certain room. When I got to the counter, I was asked by the person behind the counter, "Are you a member of our hotel club?" And I said, "I don't know." And the person said, "Well, what's your email address?" And I gave the person my email address. And after checking the email address in the system, I was told, "Yeah, you're in such and such club." I said, "Oh, really?" And so I was given a room upgrade. And I was given upgraded Wi-Fi. You had Wi-Fi, and then there's upgraded. I don't know. I'm an old person. We don't know the difference between Wi-Fi and upgraded Wi-Fi. Anyway, and I had already asked the person about parking, and was told that the parking was $22 a night. And so I was going to do it because the other alternative was try to find parking down the street somewhere. And then the guy said, "Because you're in this club, I'll toss in the parking for free." Now, I was happy. And I said to myself, "Well, that's a blessing. I got an upgraded room. I got upgraded Wi-Fi. I got free parking. That's a blessing. That is a blessing, but that isn't favor. That's called capitalism. When you have a certain job, when you live in a certain area, when you have a certain credit score, when your net worth is at a certain level, when you have certain credit cards and you get certain perks and VIP treatment, that isn't favor. That's capitalism. Those aren't really perks anyway. You're paying for those perks that they're giving to you. But favor, the favor of God, is when you are qualified for a job and you're looking for a job and you have no luck trying to find the job. And one day you find yourself standing in line at the grocery store and strike up a conversation with the person in front of you who just happens to work at the HR at a great company. And the person asks you what you do. And you say, "I'm just looking for a job." And they say, "Well, what are your qualifications?" And you leave the grocery store having given them your email address, having secured an interview with this person. That's favor. That's the blessing and the grace of God. That's when God... Favor is when you don't know how it's going to work out. Favor is when it shouldn't work out, but somehow God opens a door. God makes a way out of no way. That's favor. When God shines on you, when he smiles at you, the result is the grace, the favor of God. One more thing, and I'm done. The third action is God turns God's face. The action is really a combination of the first two actions. The text says, "The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you." The Lord goes on, the Bible goes on to explain to us what God really means when he turns his face toward his people. The Bible says, "The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." That's that third thing. He turns his face toward you and gives you peace. This action represents the totality of God's actions toward Israel. God turns his face. What does that mean? It's different than shining and smiling upon you. When God turns God's face, it means that God pays attention. That God gives Israel God's complete attention. The turning of the face suggests the intentionality of God's divine focus. If God's face is turned toward us, then it is turned away from anything else that might capture God's attention. We have God's full attention. And that's the action. He turns his face. We get God's attention. The result is the shalom, or the peace of God. God provides peace. And for us, peace usually denotes tranquility, peace of mind, peace in spirit, everything being tranquil and peaceful. Or peace for us denotes the absence of conflict or the absence of war. But the shalom, or the peace of God, covers more aspects of life. It's much broader in scope. The peace, or the shalom of God, is about good health. That when you have God's shalom, God grants good health to your body. It's about security, that God keeps you safe no matter where you are. That's the shalom of God. that God gives you inner harmony, that God helps things to remain balanced within your spirit, within your heart, and within your mind. It means wellness. The shalom of God is wellness. It means material prosperity. And the shalom of God also covers longevity. That's a lot of stuff. Just from the peace of God, good health, security, inner harmony, wellness, material prosperity, and longevity. I tell you, the peace of God is more than just a feeling. It covers your whole life. The peace of God is about total well-being. Listen to this, beloved. God pays attention to God's people. And when God pays attention, God gives us God's complete focus. God turns toward us, and the result is the peace of God. These blessings are to be pronounced by the priest, but the blessings come from God, because only God can give us peace. You cannot get peace through negotiations. You cannot order peace online. You cannot get peace from your friends or your job or your position. Peace and total well-being only come from a relationship with God. This is the third or fourth sermon during this pandemic that has contained some point about the peace of God. Because with all that we've been through over the past year, with all the deaths, with all the changes, our lives have been rearranged. Many adjustments have been made just to have some sense of stability and normalcy in our lives. But what we've learned over this past year as people of faith is how important it is to have an anchor on the inside, to hold us, to steady us, and to sustain us. We've learned that the comfort that comes from knowing that God is concerned about our total well-being cannot be replaced by anything. I tell you, the members at Ebenezer, we enjoy gathering on Wednesday night for prayer meeting and for Bible study. Because in prayer meeting, we lift our concerns, we lift our petitions, and we know that somebody is praying for us, that somebody is thinking about us, that somebody is wishing us well. And that gives us the peace of God. And that peace reminds us that God is with us and that God is watching over us. God's name on us means something special. God provides protection. God provides favor. And God provides peace. This isn't on my paper. I had a different exit ramp, but I'm going to go with the one that just dropped in my spirit. All right. Yesterday, I was watching the second leg of the Triple Crown horse race, the Preakness race in Maryland. And there was a horse that won the Kentucky Derby about 2 weeks ago. And that horse, they tested the horse and found that there was a drug in the horse's system. And so now they're investigating the situation and determining whether to strip the horse and the jockey and the owner of that title, of the win from the Kentucky Derby. And what I heard the reporter saying yesterday was, this horse that won the Kentucky Derby is in this new race. And the same, trainer who trained the horse that won the Kentucky Derby had trained this horse in the new race, and they were looking to see whether some of the other horses were trained by the same trainer. And they mentioned the trainer's name. I can't think of his name right now, but the trainer is in trouble. The only thing they can do to the horse is say to the horse, you didn't win. But they can take the money from the owner. They can damage the trainer's reputation. His name is on the line. Because when your name is associated, whatever else happens is attached to your name. And that's a blessing, because when we have God's name on us, it means we belong to God. It means God belongs to us. It means we can call his name whenever we want to call him. We can call him El Shaddai. We can call him Adonai. We can call him Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, the mighty God and the everlasting Father. When you go out, you've got God's name on you. Tell somebody, you can't touch me because God's name is all over me. You can't hurt me because God's name is all over me. God's name on us. God bless you, beloved. May God keep you as we extend the invitation.
Ebenezer members and online friends, it is our prayer that the message today has been a blessing to you and to your family. We pray that God's Spirit will implant the word deep into your hearts and give you the assurance of God's love and grace. We invite you to follow Christ with us. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian today. All you have to do is believe that God has come in Jesus to save us from our sins, and that Jesus gave his life on the cross, and that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. If you believe that, you are a Christian. We welcome you to the family of God, and we pray for you daily. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your story. You can reach out to us on our website at ebc3austin.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel and join us each Sunday for worship. You may also reach us at our church office at ebcoffice@sbcglobal.net. Thank you so much for joining us today, and may God's peace be with you until we meet again.